Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jay King. Welcome to my show, The Way I See It. With me is my co-host, Robert Redwine.
Hello, Global Internet World.
For those of you who are just tuning in, Robert Redwine has no cell phone, no computer, and no real interaction with the world of the web. It's only through me and my co-host and my producer, Joan Adrian, that Robert gets to even involve himself with technology. Joan is also with us. Hello, Joan.
Hi.
How are you doing today? I'm good.
I'm just fine. Hello, Global Internet World.
Yeah. Joan, you know what's sad is that the Global Internet World has to belittle itself to allow somebody like Robert to get involved, even through proxy, because if you think about it, he's not really involved because of his involvement. It's through you, Joan. It's through me that Robert is even connected to the Internet. Have you ever thought about that?
Haven't really given it much thought, Jay, to tell you the truth.
Joan, you know how I know you haven't given it much thought?
Why?
Because if you had, Robert would be off this show right now.
Well, that's why I haven't given it much thought. It doesn't require that.
Thank you, Joan.
Robert, what'd you do this weekend?
What I did this weekend, Jay, I watched a lot of good movies, kind of laid low, been involved in Seattle politics. We had a good election up, and looked like the mayor candidate that I endorse is going to be in. He's going to unseat the incumbent.
Who?
Well, Greg Nickels was the mayor of Seattle, and he was one of the guys that took money to get the Sonics out of here, actually, from the Oklahoma ownership.
Is this the mayor's race?
It's the mayor's race. It's the port commission race, city council race. It's the King County executive, which is the county over Seattle.
Now, weren't you involved with Y. King, who was running for mayor?
Yeah, I was. And with my involvement, his votes made the incumbent not be able to make it to the general.
Oh, so you're involved. So because of you?
No, I wouldn't say that. I just would say it's a whole movement of change.
Okay, great. Because I was going to say, if you were going to take credit for that, I was going to call Seattle right now and get you kicked out the city for telling that lie.
Well, I was his consultant on his campaign.
Oh, my God. What could you do to consult him, tell him how to be a loser?
No, I just get divine intervention, Jay.
Okay, I'm just a vessel,
Jay.
A clogged one at that. Joan, how about you? What did you do this weekend?
I have been pretty much sidelined to home. I've been feeling like I'm coming down with the flu.
Oh.
Yeah. So I felt like rather than being out there possibly exposing myself to someone, if I do have the flu, I thought I would stay in. Haven't felt like going anywhere.
Okay.
Yeah, Joan, you should take 3,000 milligrams of vitamin C, clove of garlic, green tea, and honey. And I think you would start feeling a lot better if you do that every day, morning and night.
Well, I hope you're right. Then that means I have to go out and get those things.
Robert, that's the cure for the sweet boy flu. She doesn't have that.
Are you doing gender bashing and sexual orientation bashing, Jay? I'm a heterosexual, but I still don't bash the homosexual community, Jay.
Yes, come here, Jordan. Come here. I want you to say hi to Robert Redwine and Joan.
Hi.
Hey, Jordan. How you doing,
Hi,
sweetheart?
Jordan. How are you?
Good.
So you're hanging out with Dad today, huh?
Yes.
Getting for every penny he's got in his pocket.
Yeah, Jordan.
Tell him what you got.
I got Legos today from Target.
Oh, Legos?
Yes.
Have you been, ever been to the Legos park?
No.
Oh, you've got to get your...
But I have been to Legoland.
Well, that's what I meant.
Oh.
Yeah, Legoland.
Yeah, Jordan, what are you going to build with your Legos?
What's his name?
Robert.
Robert, stop bringing my daddy showdown.
See, your
Jay,
dad is whispering.
That's
to you.
Just so wrong.
That's
Jay,
wrong. You don't teach kids.
No,
that.
No, that's so negative. Don't teach your child negative
yes.
things. That's wrong. If you want to do it, that's one thing, but don't do that to her. We don't need two kids
oh,
like
God.
That in the world. My goodness.
Thank you, Joan.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
Lord, save me. I'm telling you.
I'm sorry. She can't. I teach her to be honest. She sees what she sees what she sees. So, Robert, stop bringing my show down. That's directly from the boss.
Yay. That's that. God is going to punish you for teaching youth to do.
But teaching my daughter how to be smart and to say the right things and to tell you to stop bringing the show down. Robert, all I'm asking is that you not bring the show down. That you know, there's some class and sexiness to the show between Joan and myself.
Joan and myself,
Robert. The only thing, first of all, you're classless and sexy. You're not.
Okay, guys.
I'm sorry, Joan. It's just that he just brings it out of me. Hey, we had a great show last week. A lot of people emailed me, Joan, about the music show, and I think the music show was great last week. Larry Dunn, his music was incredible. Dee Brown, Samuel, and Dee Lynn with Secrecy. Just a lot of great feedback, and believe it or not, they already are selling product because of the show.
Really?
Yes.
Good.
So people actually went out and purchased product. I had a couple of the listeners email me and said that they loved the music, and It was a great show. So I look forward to our next music week. We're going to have a young lady by the name of Stacy Branch on, along with Val Watson and maybe Lenny Williams. So I'm thinking of who's the other person will be. Maybe Vesta Williams. I don't know. We'll think of something.
Well,
but
I'm sure Lenny Williams will pull a lot of female listeners in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. Starting with Robert.
Here we go.
So before we get started, before we get into this show and we start to read, I want to do one thing real quick, Joan.
Mm-hmm.
I want to play Larry Dunn's song. What was that song that we played last week that just knocked my socks off? Let me find him. Here it is, Feeling Free. So before we get into the show, you guys, I want to play some music real quick. Today we're doing our show on stalking, but Joan is going to tell you all about it when we come back from his musical break. This is Larry Dunn from his Into the Journey album that's coming out in 2010. We have an exclusive here at Blog Talk Radio with The Way I See It. This is Larry Dunn's Feeling Free. You can't buy it until next year, though.
Oh,
That was Larry Dunn from the Into the Journey album coming out in 2010. That was Feeling Free. That's a good song, being that we're talking about.
Bad.
That's bad, ain't it?
That's bad.
Bad meaning good.
Man, come on. That's it's get hip, Jay.
All right, Robert. You.
Okay.
Don't take yourself there.
Yeah, you're right, Joe.
Why would you give him that opportunity?
Because he ain't dealing with a full deck. I already know that. I mean, first of all, Robert's on this show just by the grace of you, Joan, because if not for you, he'd be out of here, point blank. What does he have to offer to the show? Nothing technologically. He does no research. You know what he calls me every day and asks me, or every Sunday? What's the topic about today? The only reason why he understands the topic today is because he's a stalker.
A stalker?
Yes, he is. I'm going to talk about it right after you read. I'm going to let you read the promo right now. And then we're going to get into the stalking business so everybody can know how Robert Redwine got to know me. Go ahead, Joan.
Okay, before I actually start getting into our promo, I want to say to anyone who might have seen the promo online, you probably also saw the film teaser, which is called Stalker. And so I would like to send out a thank you to film director Darren A. Saunders of DAS Productions and Marketing, who wrote and directed the teaser and the film Stalker. As children, many of us can probably recall that when it was time to go to bed and Mom had turned off the lights, it seems our rooms suddenly became the scariest places at night. As a boogeyman waited in the closet and a monster lurked under the bed, most times we found ourselves sleeping with covers up over our heads. As adults, however, we tend to outgrow and put away such frightening thoughts, that is, unless you are one of an estimated 3.4 million people who are preyed upon by stalkers every year in the United States. A stalker's course of conduct can create fear and hysteria that can haunt a victim for a lifetime. Their patterns of unwelcome attention and harassment often include laying in wait for their victims, making excessive and menacing communications by phone, mail, and/or email, often threatening physical harm to the victim, the victim's family and friends, or physical damage to the victim's property. Today, Jay King, Robert Redwine, and I will explore stalking and the safety measures you can take if you are being preyed upon. If you have ever been stalked or know of someone who has, please call us at 347-205-9366. Again, that's 347-205-9366, or join our chat room. To gain access to the chat room, you must sign up at www.blogtalkradio.com with a username and password before logging on to the show. So, Jay, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Well, Joan, I've been stalked. I've been stalked, and I'm telling you, it's a scary, frightening thing because sometimes that stalker can just latch him or herself onto you, and you can never get rid of him. And my story starts with Robert Redwine. This is a
true
story.
I want to hear this.
Back in 1986, I released a record called Rumors, and I did it independently without the help of major labels, and people applauded me, and I got a lot of accolades, and just a few people got a little off the chain. A girl from Boston said that she had a baby by me, and she sent pictures of the baby and everything. The problem was I had never been to Boston. And then some guy from Seattle said that he was the Jay King of Seattle and drove down to my office without an appointment or anything, scaring the crap out of my office people. And they didn't want me to see him because they didn't know who this guy was. You know who that guy was, Joan?
I'm afraid to ask.
Yep, Robert Redwine. That was in 1987. So
he drove all the way down from Seattle?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, Joe, I was always led by the Spirit. I read an article about Jay, Benny
Stalk
Medina.
Stalk him. The article said, stalk him.
No, I mean, I was in the music business. I was doing music up in Seattle for a long time. And, I managed, I sung, I wrote, and I, produced. So I read about Jay, and Jay happened to be the same sign as me. Benny Medina was Aquarius, also from Warner Brothers, who was giving Jay this big deal on Warner Brothers. And I read about it, and it was inspirational. So I said, I'm going to go down here and meet this guy. I just feel like something's going to happen. And so I found his office just on spiritual guidance. Really, really. I just had a vibe.
Oh, my God. What are you talking about? My office, the address is in the phone book. You're not no spiritual guidance.
Yeah,
cut
I'm just
out.
Telling you. That's
carry
how
on.
I
carry
found,
on with your stalking story.
I went to Sacramento's office.
Carry on
music.
With.
So I'm such a stalker. So I was gonna. Then I was going to go to L.A. So Jay told me, gave me some numbers, reach him in L.A. He's going to be at this music conference. And so he hooked me up with some numbers, and I hooked up back up with him in L.A. on Jay's doing. So if I was a stalker, he invited a stalker to go meet him in L.A.
I'm going
to
tell you why, because I knew that if I didn't, that you might follow me all over the place. So I said, you know what? In order to negate stalking, you have to meet it halfway. And that's what I did. So
you got me some work because of that, Jay.
Well, I got you work.
I ended up working on your album, Club Nouveau's album.
Oh, that was, cut that out. That was 20 freaking years later, Robert. You didn't end up working. The music you were doing back then sucked. And I told you. So, now, hold on. FMB is calling me on the other line. FMB, I'm doing my radio show right now, right? Yeah, you might want to tune in because I'm talking about stalking. I just talked about Robert stalking me to get into the music business. You missed a really good part of the show. You might want to tune in. You can find out more about it in a few minutes. Okay. Yeah, Robert, you see that? People are calling in wanting to find out about your stalking.
Stalkers don't want to do business with people, Jay.
Well, that's not true. But I'm going to tell you something. All seriousness, in front of us. Joan, you put together some incredible statistics here. And, we can joke about it because obviously, Robert stalked me, but not in the way he wanted to. Let me see. We have a caller. Caller, who's calling? 347.
Hey, what's up, Jay? It's Callie Wood.
Callie Wood, how are you?
Man, you are killing me. You kill that cat, Robert, every week, every show. You be smashing him, man. I'm glad you ain't smashing me on my show.
Well, you know what? I got to tell you, Callie, it's not what I want to do. It's what he makes me do. This guy stalked me. Have you ever been stalked?
Yo, actually, I have, which is really funny. I have a really crazy story. I worked at a place, and I got a promotion over this cat, and he like flipped out and like literally lost his mind, threw computers around or whatever. Make a long story short, we were kind of cool. I babysitted his kids and everything. We worked in a nice little office situation. He started sending dolls with cut off heads and just knew where I lived. So my mom, we got security. So I was going to work with security, and then, he fired him and everything. So I kept with security for about maybe a month. So this one night I'm having a dinner party at my house. I had a bunch of friends coming over, and he was just acting real. The security guard then started acting real weird. So I'm going, something's wrong. So when some of my friends got there, they was like, what's going on? I told them about the whole stalker situation, and one of my friends was shackled there. He was like, yo, you can go home. We're going to spend the night. You don't have to worry about everything. He said, well, I'm supposed to take her to church tomorrow. He said, we got everything. Long story short, I called his boss because he refused to leave the house to tell him how he was acting. Well, how about the security guard then showed up at the church stalking me?
What?
Yes.
The security
His name was Robert.
Oh, Jesus. Jay,
last
Jay,
name
see Red what you doing, Jay?
No, Robert, I'm not doing anything. You just people that are associated with you in one way, form, or fashion, they stalk. This is a serious thing. You know, the first thing I think stalkers should all be named Robert. Once you've been deemed a stalker, you know how they have how they put a label on you? Like if you're a child predator, if you're a stalker, your name should be Robert. It should be automatic. Do you have a Robert? Yeah, he's a Robert, you know. So how long did it go on before?
Well,
you...
I actually, within like maybe 3 weeks after that, I'd left to go work for another friend. So it didn't last. It didn't last that much longer. We, you know, we got security for the security was supposed to be protecting me from the stalker.
Now,
you're lucky. You're lucky because you know what the statistics are saying? They're saying that the average stalking case lasts 2 years. That's a long time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, imagine if you were terrified, you know, just during that 3 weeks. Imagine somebody that's being terrorized for 2 years or longer.
Wow.
Right. And because at the time and where I was in my mental space and where I was, I wasn't really tripping on it. It was comical because I'm like, the people who I was hanging out with, they're like more famous than me. And I'm all, y'all going out with me and I got security, you know? So I didn't think of it, you know, because it was funny, you know, but then it is serious because I didn't let it consume me when it could have, you know? So,
yeah.
You know,
and do you know that 3 out of 4 stalking victims are stalked by somebody they know?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That means 75% of the time. So right now, the reason why, and Robert, and as you see, I mean, I'm on radio right now. You know, I'm on the internet. Robert can't be on the internet. He doesn't have a computer. He doesn't have.
No, okay, explain this to me because you said that. I don't understand it. How is he? You connect him? If you say he doesn't have a computer and he doesn't have a phone, then how is he on the show?
Well, he doesn't have a cell phone.
He has
a home phone, so he's able to call from his home phone to get on the show.
He can call long distance.
Well, I mean, not really. He's got a calling card.
I call direct.
Hey,
don't listen to Jay.
The deal is this right here. The guy's still stalking me after all these years. That's the real, where the average case lasts, as Joan says, 2 years. Here I am 22 years into this deal. So I'm 20 years past the average guy. And I still got my wits about me, which says a lot about who I am. And you know, and I just, you know, it's frightening though. It is. I mean, sometimes I wake up and I'm in a cold sweat and because I'm just thinking Robert is just laying next to me. Dear God, please let me be like Jay. Amen. You know, it's just it's scary. It's frightening. So, Calliewood, how's your show going?
Well, dude, yesterday we had an amazing show. Actually, Calliewood got a sponsor, Mad City Records, so we're actually a Blog Talk Premium show now. I've been on since July 4th. Yeah, yeah. I've been on since July 4th. Yesterday was my 8th show. We got my 4th pick of the day. I had actually 8 guests. I had Karen Silas from CSI, Wendy Raquel Robinson from The Game, Denise Dowse from Ray, Jeffrey Peterson, the 420 comic, Marva King from the play Diary of a Mad Black Woman by Tyra Perry, but she has a hot song out called Chocolate Now, and Annie McKnight, who was supposed to be on the week 2 weeks before, so she showed up 7 days and like 19 hours later. And then another person didn't show up, and I'm going to put them on blast on this show because on Facebook they told me that they forgot. So Chanel London from Just Ducks Record, you're done. You can't come back. You know, you missed your spot.
You're going to blast them out on my show. Now they ain't listening to my show.
No, they know I was dropping a bomb on them. You know, you've been on the show, so they, you know Calliewood, I'm keeping it real.
For
you
sure.
know, so there it is. So I'm extremely happy. I'm actually on Skyping with my executive line producer, Aunt Wendy. She's in the chat room too, and we're just trying to learn. When I started the Blog Talk show, I just went up. I didn't read any information. I just knew I can do it. But now that money's invested and all these people are calling, so we're taking the day to learn what we need to learn about Blog Talk while we're listening to your show.
Well, thank you. Well, I'm glad you guys are listening. You know, I still don't know what I'm supposed to know about it, but Joan does, which makes me a lot smarter. And Robert is like an anchor. He continues to weigh the show down, but as long as Joan and I are involved, I think we can keep it up. And, you know, it's always a hole in the ship, and Robert just happens to be that hole.
You think that, Calliewood.
Listen, Cassandra, we got to get to the show because Joan will actually fire me if I don't get to the subject matter.
Well, do your thing. I just wanted to let you know I have had a stalker, and his name was Robert. And you do your thing. I'm going to just sit back and listen.
Thank you so much.
All right, Joan. See you later.
Thank you.
Robert, I didn't know. I didn't call. I didn't ask Hollywood. I didn't know she was going to listen in today. I didn't ask her to do this. She did that on her own. Robert, believe me, I don't care. As a matter of fact, you know, we know what she just said in the blog room.
What?
Robert, I don't give a damn what you think or say. Yes, he did not call me. He doesn't have to call me. I had a stalker named Robert, just like Jay has a stalker named Robert. Kick rocks. That's what she says. So she said that
no,
in the blog.
No, she didn't, Robert.
Thank you, Joe.
Well, that's what she's thinking. Okay, so let's get to some facts here. 3.4 million people over the age of 18 are stalked each year in the United States. 3.4 million people. That's like 1% of the population. Doesn't sound like a lot, but when you start talking about 340 million people and 3.4, that means that somebody you know is being stalked right now if they're over the age of 18. Persons aged 18 to 24 experience the highest rate of stalking. So that's where the old pervs like you, Robert, are just following after these little young girls. I mean, these are facts. I didn't make these up. 3 in 4 stalking victims are stalked by someone they know. 10% of stalking victims are stalked by a stranger. 30% of stalking victims are stalked by a current or former intimate partner. Now, we know that this can't be true for you, Robert, being that you haven't had very many intimate partners. So, but
how would you know?
I mean,
he doesn't know, Jay. I mean, not Joan. He's you know, there's people that's listening and that's laughing at Jay for that comment.
No, there's people that are laughing at you, Robert. They laugh at you all the time. Let me get back to some facts here. Intimate partner stalkers frequently approach their targets, and their behaviors escalate quickly. It's like you, Robert, when you first met me, how you start taking on the persona of Jay King. I'm the Jay King of Seattle when you say stuff like that. That's a form of stalking. Like now you're stalking my likeness. You think I want that? You tell people that I'm your mentor, and you think I want to be a mentor to somebody who's below par? Okay, now, Joan, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
In one part of this, you say 76% of intimate partner femicide victims have been stalked by their intimate partner. I've never seen the word femicide. What is that word, and what does it mean?
Well, it's referring to women because mainly most of the people who are stalked are women, so they call it femicide.
Okay. So they call it, so what if a guy is being stalked by a girl?
I guess it's called manicide. I'm just guessing now.
Okay. Okay. 67% had been physically abused by their intimate partner.
Wow.
That's two out of three.
Wow.
Two out of three of the people that are stalked are abused. And I guess that would be so because, you know, once a woman breaks up with the guy, you know, she's probably breaking up with him because of his physical and emotional abuse, and then she breaks up and he still wants to keep going. So, you know, not only does he try to force her or, you know, first, you know, beg her and then force her into being with him. So, you know, and she's probably leaving him because of that physical and emotional abuse.
You think Chris Brown has stalked Rihanna?
No.
No, I don't think so. And I'm pretty disappointed. We have to do a show on that because I'm disappointed in how they portray this whole thing. These are kids. These are young people that we really needed to help. And I think the whole way that thing was dealt with was negative. It was wrong, and it didn't help either one of them.
Yeah,
I'm disappointed with the media at large for doing what they did because we have to take on a different approach to young people who are going to change the way young people react to what's happening because they're getting a lot older now, a lot younger. You know, they have strong responsibilities, grown-up responsibilities that are a lot younger age, and I think we need to do something different.
Well, you know what? I guess what I find very odd about the interview that Rihanna did the other night is the fact that she's getting ready to drop that new album or new CD, and so all of a sudden now here she comes with all of these interviews, and I wondered
is it for sympathy reasons, do you think, or
of
to
course,
help
you know,
promote the, okay.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, she wants to promote her music, and this is the best way to do it. You know, if she looks like a victim, you know, whether it be stalking or somebody who's abused, physically abused by their partner and stuff like that. And I think he would have pursued it more had it not been in such the public eye. I think his heart is hurt, and I think he loved her, you know, as much as you can love as a teenager, or you know, a young 20-year-old adult male. But I think he loved her. I think he's hurting. And
he still loves her.
Of course he does.
At least that's what he told Larry King.
Well, you know, and I think in a way, whether he stalks her via email, because stalking, as you know, Joan, can happen through the internet now, and, you know, going to people's websites and checking them out and all that stuff. You know, it's just, I feel bad for him. 11% of stalking victims have been stalked for 5 years or more. That's me. Here I am, 22 years into this stalking deal, and Robert's still stalking me. 46% of stalking victims experience at least one unwanted contact per week. That's me again. Every Sunday. Joan, these
with
are great
the
facts. Case. These are great facts, Joan. I am so happy that you are using me as part of your fact-finding thing. I know that you probably got a lot of those facts from just watching the interaction between Robert and myself. Two-thirds of stalkers pursue their victims at least once per week, many daily, using more than one method. Again, that's me. Robert calls me at least once a week when the show's not going on, and I just don't pick up the phone a lot. One in four victims report being stalked through the use of some form of technology, such as emails or instant messaging. That's what I was talking about. You know, I bet you, you know, he is still trying to contact her or find her. And that's what I'm talking about, Rihanna and Chris.
Did you also know that they use GPS systems?
I'm looking at it.
Doctors do, Joe?
10% of victims report being monitored with global positioning systems, and 8% report being monitored through video or digital cameras or listening devices. Now, this is something I don't have to worry about, because this has to do with technology, and Robert knows absolutely nothing about technology, so that just cuts him right out the race right there. I don't have to worry about that part of it. 78% of stalkers use more than one means of approach. Weapons are used to harm or threaten victims in 1 out of 5 cases. That means 20% of the time somebody is using a weapon to harm or threaten somebody. That's a big number. Almost one-third of stalkers have stalked before. Now, Robert, this is where I have to ask you a question.
Okay.
Who did you stalk before you stalked me?
Jay, I never stalked in my life.
Robert, you stalked me. What are you talking about? We just said you stalked me.
Hey,
everybody knows
guy. It. You were a young guy doing it in the music business. I was doing music.
And you were stalking me. And I'm asking you, who did you stalk?
I wanted to grow, and I wanted to be mentored by someone who I thought would be nice to me 22 years later.
Well, so basically, you found the right guy.
Yeah.
Because obviously I'm nice to you. You're still on the show. Okay, my daughter is in the room singing. She's making up her own songs. I love this little girl. I am in love with this little bitty girl. I'm stalking Jordan, okay? No, I stalk her every day. I stalk her in the class. I wait for her to come out. Oh, my God, I love her. All right, but she's my daughter. I can stalk. 89% of femicide victims who had been physically assaulted had also been stalked in the 12 months before their murder. Now, Joan, we were talking about this young lady, Schaefer.
Rebecca
Schaefer.
Yeah, Rebecca Schaefer.
She was one of those victims who had been stalked for about a year or so before she was murdered, right?
I don't know that it was actually that long. This guy, I mean, he had been sending her messages, and I think that he really began stalking her the actual year that he did kill her.
Wow.
And for those of you who might not know what we're talking about, Rebecca Schaefer is the actress who used to be on a show called something Sam. What was it? This is Sam or something to that effect. And she was stalked by a guy who lived in Tucson, Arizona. He came to Los Angeles went to the studios where they were taping her show, and they wouldn't let him on the set, so that infuriated him. He hired a private investigator to obtain her information, her personal information, from the Department of Motor Vehicles, and then he went to her apartment over near West Hollywood, and her doorbell wasn't working, so he knocked on the door. She came down, and as soon as she opened the door, he shot her to death.
Yeah, shot her one time in the stomach.
And I think she was 21.
Yeah, 21, yeah. 22 years old, and she was an up-and-coming.
My Sister Sam, yeah, the show was My Sister Sam.
And she was an up-and-coming actress. She was really, they had big dreams for her. They thought she was going to do well.
Yeah.
Let's get back to these facts. 54% of femicide victims reported talking to police before they were killed by their stalkers. Wow. So half the people that were stalked and killed, or more than half, reported it to the police. So why isn't the police able to stop or protect these people?
That's a good question. I think, you know, each individual state, you know, they have their own different laws about stalking. Some are more severe than others. But I have no idea why they can't seem to get a handle on it. I guess the same reason they can't get a handle on a lot of the other crime that's going on. Then that's why we have had 32 million acts of violence in this country, you know, within the last 20 years.
Well, April Sims says that's what happened to the young lady from Mork and Mindy as well. The stalker.
What actress was that?
I don't know. So April, if you can tell us her name, did she was stalked? Was she killed? Give us some details here. All right, now we have the listeners working.
I think it was
Rebecca. What a show! What a great show to come listen to. You come listen to the show and they put you to work, and you got to listen to somebody like Robert Redwine, who's stalking the very host that helped him make it in show business. All right, 79% of abused femicide victims reported being stalked during the same period they were abused. So, Robert, that would be me, too, because I was stalked while you were abusing me, and the abuse was having to listen to you. The prevalence of anxiety, insomnia, social dysfunction, and severe depression is much higher among stalking victims than the general populations, especially if the stalking involves being followed or having one's property destroyed. Now, that's where you would cross the line with me, Robert. If you destroyed some of my property, it would go from you stalking me to me putting my foot deep in it.
Well,
and if
Jay,
you want to know what it is.
We would not have to worry about that.
No, of course, exactly. Because you'd have the Zachleys. And my foot would be exactly in your ass. Okay. 46% of stalking victims fear not knowing what will happen next. 29% of stalking victims fear the stalking will never stop.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally one in three. So that's got to be frightening. Have you ever been stalked on, Joan?
I have. Before I moved to California, and I'm from the state of Illinois, I guess maybe about 2 years before I moved to California, I noticed this guy. I mean, I didn't even know who he was. Every time I turned around, it seems like I looked up and there he was. You know, I'd be in the record store, you know, trying to find my latest record to buy, and he'd be standing right there, and he never said a word to me. And, I mean, this went on probably for about 7 months. Never, ever said a word. My name is so-and-so. Hi, how are you? Nothing. He just had this real eerie grin on his face. And a lot of times I would see him. I'd be driving down the street. He'd be, you know, coming in the opposite direction, like toward me. And he'd see me. As soon as he saw my car, he would turn his car around in the middle of the street, no matter how much traffic was there, so he could follow me. And it got to the point it was scary, and so I told my dad about it. And my father said, okay, he says, give me the license plate of his car if the next time you see him. So I got the license plate number and gave it to my dad and never had a problem after that. I have no idea what happened, but I just know that I never had a problem again.
Dad put the problem solver on him.
Yeah, you know, I'm Dad's baby girl. You know, Dad wasn't going to let anything happen to me. But it was, I can tell you this, it was eerie. It was scary, you know, because, I mean, to have someone constantly following you and never say a word to you and you don't know what their motives are is very frightening.
Yeah. Now, you know, I was stalked. And this is, and not just by Robert, I was actually stalked by a young lady. Started in 1989. And it went from 89 to right around 96, 95, 96. And this is a young lady I met. We did an album called Under a Nouveau Groove. We had a song called No Friend of Mine that became that was a top 10 record. You know, it was going up the charts. And so we did an autograph signing thing in the Bay Area. So on a Thursday night, we were in the Bay Area. On a Friday night, we were in Sacramento. So we did two autograph signing parties. So this young lady, pretty girl, Puerto Rican and black girl, about 5'8", 5'9". So she asked me for some autographs. I signed a couple in San Francisco. The next day I'm in Sacramento, and this girl walks up, and she asks for like 7 autographs for different pictures. And so I'm signing them. And I look up, and I know her. She's familiar to me. And I'm like, wow, don't I know you? And then she said, well, I was at the Blue Dolphin in the Bay Area yesterday when you were there. And I said, oh, okay. So she said, I know Keith Lamont. Well, Keith Lamont is a friend of mine who is a DJ out of Sacramento. After we finished, you know, like I said, she wasn't no, you know, she was a good-looking girl. So we exchanged numbers because she knew Keith and, you know, we all were talking, so we exchanged numbers. The next day, she calls me, and she says, you know, I would love to go out to dinner with you. I said, sure. So we go out to dinner. She, myself, and my driver at the time was a guy named Kevin, but we called him Big Boy. So he, you know, so he drives us to dinner. We go out to dinner. We come back home. She comes to my house. She gets in her car. She leaves. We have a wonderful time. It was a nice date. The next morning, Keith Lamont calls me and says, how was your date last night? And I didn't tell him I was going there, so she had to tell him. I said, oh, it was cool. She was cool. He said, did you guys? He said, what happened? I said, nothing, you know, just. And he said, so did y'all do it? I said, dude, don't ask me silly questions like that. He said, okay, y'all must. I said, first of all, we did not. But it ain't none of your business. I don't get down like that. It ain't none of your business what we did. But no, we did not. And he said, oh, she must have told you about her husband. So I said, nah, she didn't tell me about her husband. So later on that day, she calls me and says what a wonderful day she had. And I said, me too. And, you know, I'm just going along with her. And I said, hey, do you think your husband would appreciate you going out to dinner with me? And she said, I'm not married. I said, yes, you are. I spoke with Keith Lamont. Your husband's in the Air Force. He's in Turkey. And this ain't cool. You should never do that. You could get me in trouble. You know, you can get me killed. Somebody thinking, you know, that I'm sleeping with his wife. So I just quit talking to her. I cut her off. I never talked to her again. But this woman calls my house every day for 6 months. One day, Joan, she shows up at my front door and says, I just want to talk to him.
Mm.
This is 6 months later.
Wow.
They turn her away. She takes her truck, and she's got one of those big Broncos but with the super big tires.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, like, revving her engine like she's going to run through my house. So I got cats that work at the house, and, you know, they got weapons. So it's like, you know, they getting ready to do what they got to do. And she just revs her engine up, and she drives off. I don't see her for 4 months. I'm in L.A. one day doing a show, and she's there. She started dating one of the guys in our band, and so that she could get closer to me. And, I mean, it just went on and on. She came to my house one day up in Hollywood Hills. I don't know how she found my house because my address was blocked and everything, and it didn't go in sequence. She was just, and so I called the police and said, yo. And I used to tell the girl I was with Lori, I used to tell Lori that this girl stalked me. And she used to think that I was just, you know how I always say, yes, I'm a star. like, you know, she thought I'm just doing that goofy stuff until one day she was at the house, and the whole backside of my house was glass. Robert, did you come to that house in the Hollywood Hills?
Yeah, I went to that one, yeah.
Yeah, and you know how the backside of it is all glass back there?
Yeah, yeah.
Lori is standing in the living room, and she looked around, and the girl is standing on our porch. And Lori called the police. They escorted
Misery,
her off
Kathy
the property.
Bates.
They escorted her off the property. But she did that to me for a number of years. And then I found out that she got into some other guy's camp, another famous person, and had sex with all of them and gave him havoc. So stalkers, they just, it's not so much that they're in love with you or who you are. They're just in love with the idea of whatever it is, and they'll latch on to anybody. So they'll go from one person to the next. I just happened to be that person for that time, but it was from 1989 to 1996 that she literally stalked me, which is nutty. Okay, so that's my story. Okay, let me see. Wendy Marie said, I had a phone stalker in my teenage years one summer. This person would call every morning 5 minutes after my mom would leave for work. He would breathe heavily into the phone and ask me what I was wearing, state that he knew I was there alone. We had to have the phone monitor to trace the calls. It was disturbing. Robert?
Yeah.
Was that you?
No, Jay, but I had an incident of being stalked.
Did you? Several of them. What was his name?
What was his name? It was Jake. His name was Jay Queen.
Holy Spirit Lady said, hi, everyone. Very interesting show. My best friend of 45 years, Kathy, who passed 4 years ago, was stalked. Her dad actually paid teens and some adults to harass her.
Can you imagine?
I witnessed some of the stalking incidents, and we can never solve it. Wow. And Annie E. says, wow. And, why would her dad, of all people, pay someone to stalk his own daughter?
Wow, that's deep.
Crazy.
You know,
unless maybe he had an obsession with her himself.
We live in a sick society, and I think these things always took place. It's just that information is so much more readily available to us today than ever before, that the information is out there now. You know, and that's like Joan. We talked about doing the show, and I said, what are we going to do on stalking? I don't know anybody who's been stalked, and, you know, is it that serious now? And then Joan sends me all these facts. I mean, I'm still reading facts. 1 in 8 employed stalking victims lose time from work as a result of there being victimization, and more than half lose 5 days of work or more. 1 in 7 stalking victims move as a result of their victimization. Stalking is a crime under the laws of 50 states, the District of Columbia, the U.S. territories, and the federal government. Less than one-third of states classify stalking as a felony upon first offense. What do you think about that, Joan?
Well, I mean, it should be a felony.
I know, but they said that it's not a felony until after the first offense.
Oh, you mean after they have to do it one time before it becomes a felony?
Yeah. I think that's crazy.
It is crazy. So, in other words, basically you're saying they need to commit a second offense before it becomes a felony.
Absolutely.
No, I think that's crazy because, I mean, if they are bold enough to commit the first offense, I think that that alone in itself should be a felony because nobody should have to be subjected to someone harassing them, and it's unwanted attention.
I agree 1,000,000,000%. I think that it should be a felony from the start.
Yeah.
And it should be treated seriously. But you know what? How do we know when somebody's stalking or when somebody's just saying that they're being stalked? I think that's another thing that when people make it more than what it is.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with the pattern of what the person is doing. And that's why they say that, you know, if you suspect that you're being stalked, then you need to start, like, making a log of the pattern. Make a pattern of what is going on. Every time you receive a call, you know, you write that down on the log, because all of this is evidence, and that's the only thing that's going to help you, you know, when you turn it over to the police. If you don't have anything to show them, you can't prove that anybody has been even watching you at all.
Okay. Now, do you remember the girl that we were talking about who the father paid people to stalk her?
Mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit lady said he had mental problems. When Kathy's mom died, when she was 11, she's the only child, her dad molested her continuously.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. April Sims says, I was stalked after I broke off a relationship with a young man. He told me every time I turn around, he would be there. It finally got to the point that I did what Joan did, except I told my brothers and never had the problem after I told them.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit lady says, police suggested that she and I should move instead of blaming them. Now, of course, the police would say that. They also said to call when Kathy was severely injured by them. The stalkers used to follow her into stores and lie to managers, workers, stating that they were her probation officers, and watch her because she steals. These were all lies.
Mm-hmm.
These are things that, you know, when people are sick like that, they'll do anything. They can make up anything, and they have no boundaries. And Bridget said, don't you think it's a control issue with a stalker? I don't know if it's a control issue. I do know it's a sickness. You know, for you to waste your time or to spend time stalking somebody, you know, that doesn't want to have anything to do with you. It's almost like, Robert, you stalking this show. The show don't want anything to do with you, but you continue. I'm joking. It's frightening. Let me tell you some celebrities who've been stalked. Britney Spears, Masahiko Chitzawa. Is that how it is? Chitzawa. He's a Japanese native. He sent Britney Spears hundreds of letters. Allegedly tried to break into her home in Los Angeles and Louisiana. He was deported back to Japan following the incident, but now he's suing Britney, claiming that her bodyguards caused him extreme emotional distress. Now, Joan, do you know anything about this case?
I can't say that I know anything about that particular case. No,
I mean, so you don't know if were they able to throw this thing out, or is he? I mean, like, are the courts really letting this take place where he can sue her?
Well, I mean, I think that he has a right to file a suit, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the judge is going to allow it to, you know, proceed forward. He'll probably throw it out.
Yeah, it has to. April Sims says Miley Cyrus was recently stalked by an older gentleman. I want to say he was in his 50s. He truly believed in his own mind that they were getting married, that Miley Cyrus loved him. That's a lot like those young girls you chase, Robert. You don't really think they love you. They don't. I don't know who you are. Okay, Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Mm-hmm.
She was stalked by a woman.
Wow.
Darnette Knight.
And that was not too long ago.
Yeah, so this is what happened. Knight reportedly made numerous death threats to Catherine Zeta-Jones through phone calls and letters. In those letters, she allegedly stated she would viciously slice up Jones like Sharon Tate was.
Wow.
Okay. Now, it says here, though the trial is still ongoing, Zeta-Jones nearly suffered a nervous breakdown because of the ordeal. But I believe that this trial is over with. And this girl was, sentenced to 6 months or something.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, I remember when that happened. David Letterman. Wow, so see this? At least we got a guy in here. David Letterman was Margaret Ray is who stalked him. Ray repeatedly visited Letterman's Connecticut home and was once found sleeping on his tennis courts. She spent 10 months in prison and 14 months in a mental institution on trespassing conviction. But her life came to a tragic end in 1998 when she reportedly committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so there's some sickness in this thing, too, with stalkers. You know, these are not just people who are normal folk.
That's true, because the woman who stalked Paula Abdul, she committed suicide in front of Paula's house. Was it earlier this year?
Yeah.
Wow.
So there is a sickness.
Yeah, these are not regular. These are not regular people. Robert, you're not among the regular, and that's why I keep you on the show. Let me see who else we have here.
Jerry Lewis.
Yeah, Jerry. That's all them kids trying to get their money that he's been doing these telethons for. I'm sorry. But I'd be stalking him, too, if I have muscular dystrophy and all that money he's making. I don't
spend
shit every
year. You think he's misappropriating those funds?
I just put it to you like this. Jerry lives a good life.
Okay.
Gloria Estefan, she was stalked by Juan Carlos Diaz. After appearing in two of Estefan's videos, the struggling actor latched himself onto the Estefan family. Gloria and her husband alleged Diaz was harassing them. In 2002, Estefan won a permanent restraining order against Diaz, which Diaz has complied to, and the ordeal inspired the singer to write the song Famous. So sometimes being stalked can be financially rewarding. Gwyneth Paltrow, Dante Michael Sui reportedly sent numerous packages, emails, and letters, even going so far as to show up at Paltrow's parents' home in California. The pizza delivery man was convicted in December of 2000 of stalking and committed to a high-security psychiatric hospital in California. Do you know if he's still there, Joan?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Probably not.
We're talking about stalking and the effects of stalking, the effects that it has on people. It's not just high-profile people that are getting stalked. It's people that, everyday people, you know, a lot of times women in relationships with in breakups. Same happens with guys, but more often, like Joan said, more often than not, it's a woman being stalked by a man or another woman. If you'd like to call in and give us your viewpoint on this topic, you can call in at 347-205-9366. 347-205-9366. My name is Jay King. I'm with my co-host Robert Redwine, producer of our show, Joan Adrian. And what I'm going to do right here is just play a little bit of music for a second just to give us a break from this topic. Anna, this is for you because I know you love this song. All right, that was Jay King, All About Your Love.
All About It.
So, you know, so when does love turn into stalking? You know, and we tend to think that stalking has to do with just a man and a woman, but that's not so, because Bridget says, I believe there are many different levels of this sickness. There's a young lady in my town that has two stalking orders in place with two different people because she stalks people that she has issues with. She wants her enemies to know that she means business.
Yeah, she's got a problem, for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, there are people that, you know, it becomes, it might be money, it might be, and thank you, Anna and Robin, for saying that about the song. They love the song. That's going to be on my next album. That's not even a finished version of the song, you guys. That's actually just a demo, but I like playing it here and getting an idea of what works, what doesn't work. All right, let's get back to the stalking business here because I need to, okay, so let's see who, Halle Berry was stalked. Did you know that, Robert?
No, Halle Berry was?
Yeah, you know who stalked her?
Who?
Robert?
Eric Benet.
Eugene, no, Robert Eugene Redwine.
No, come on, it was not. Okay.
And a guy named, you don't believe me?
No.
Okay, that's not true. Greg Broussard. Broussard stalked Berry, believing that the two were engaged, according to court testimony. The Navy SEAL was ordered by a California judge to keep at least 100 yards away from Berry and to stay away from her two bodyguards.
Wow.
But, I mean, I guess my question on that is how comforting can that be to her?
Yeah.
100 yards?
Right.
And he's a Navy SEAL, so he's an expert in the military.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and if he's a Navy SEAL, that means he's a marksman.
Yeah.
So he can hit you from 100 yards if he really wanted to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, what do we do to stop this whole? You know, I mean, what can we do to stop this whole thing from occurring where people are not? I mean, you know, it's one thing to be stalked, but when somebody can kill you, and, you know, I mean, and the police know, and they have all these different orders in place, but they still can't protect you. That has to, I don't know, that's kind of crazy to me. Kind of, it's just weird. Okay, Jerry Lewis is stalked by Gary Benson. Benson is a schizophrenic with prior felony convictions. Spent 6 years in jail for stalking the comedian, which included going to his Las Vegas home, packing a pistol, and threatening his life. Upon his release, Benson sent Lewis a letter simply written, "Dear Jerry, you're dead. Your friend, Gary Benson." Well, I'm going to tell you, the one good thing about this whole case is Benson died in jail of heart disease in 2001 after awaiting trial for allegedly stalking Lewis during a latter incident, so you don't have to worry about him anymore. I hate to say that, but that's a fact. You know, I'd rather these guys be out the way than, you know, innocent people get killed. Wow. So let me go back. Let me see who else we have here. Okay, and let me tell you something else. You remember when April was saying that the girl from Mark and Mindy?
Mm-hmm.
Was being stalked. You know who that girl was?
It was Rebecca Schaefer.
Rebecca Schaefer.
Wow.
So we're talking about the same girl who was shot in the stomach. So she was on Mork and Mindy. Then she had the other show, My Sister Sam. She was on her way up the ladder. They had big things in the works for her, and life cut short because of stalking. Because we don't take this stuff seriously. You got to take this kind of thing seriously. We can joke all we want to, but it's really serious. I got to start even looking at you a lot more differently, Robert, because this is serious stuff. I mean, after 22 years, you're still right here. It's kind of frightening. Jodie Foster, John Warnock Hinckley Jr. Now, is this the same?
Yeah, John Hinckley Jr. The one who attempted to assassinate President Reagan.
Wow. Okay, this is Jodie Foster. She was stalked by this. What are we doing? He shot the president. Why is she doing? After repeated viewings of the film Taxi Driver, Hinckley became obsessed with Foster, who portrayed a child prostitute in the film. Once Foster went to Yale, Hinckley moved to New Haven to be closer to her. After failing to form a relationship with her, though, he called her numerous times and sent messages. He decided to either hijack a plane or commit suicide in front of her to gain her attention. In the end, Hinckley attempted to assassinate President Ronald Reagan in 1981, mimicking the plot of Taxi Driver to get Foster's attention. Hinckley was tried but not found guilty by reason of insanity, spending the rest of his days at St. Elizabeth's Hospital in Washington, D.C., though in 2005 he was granted conditional releases from the hospital. So this guy's walking around today?
Well, he's still in prison, but they let him out, I guess, occasionally on conditional releases to his family.
Okay, now Rebecca Schaefer, she was stalked by Robert Bardo. So on July 18th, 1989, after obtaining Schaefer's address from Tucson, Arizona Detective Agency, which paid $250 to retrieve the address from the California Department of Motor Vehicles, Bardo staked out Schaefer's apartment building. He rang her direct intercom, but since it was broken, she came down to see who was there. As Schaefer opened the front door, Bardo plugged a single bullet into her chest and casually strode off. It was later learned that after Bardo murdered Schaefer, he hopped on a Greyhound bus and headed back to Tucson. Instead of returning to his house, intent on killing himself, Bardo literally played on a freeway. He was arrested and ticketed for jaywalking. While Bardo sat in the Tucson jail, a relative contacted the Los Angeles Police Department when she heard news of Rebecca Schaefer's murder. The relative informed police that the day before the murder, Bardo told her he was going to Los Angeles to visit the actress. She then told the LAPD that Bardo lived in Tucson. The young executioner was soon extradited to Los Angeles and tried for murder of Rebecca Schaefer. Bardo was found guilty of first-degree murder and was given a sentence of life without parole. Afterward, California Governor George Duke Mason signed a law that would give individuals the ability to prevent the DMV from releasing their personal home address. So, this is when I think the death penalty should be in place. When you know something happened and there's no disputing it. If you take a life, you should have to give yours. In this kind of case, I mean, for nothing, when it's cloudy, you can't do that. But when it's a direct shot and you know exactly what happened, I think taking somebody's life is par for the course, is what they owe. Okay, so Anna E. said, I had an ex-boyfriend stalk me for a while. We dated and lived together for 10 years. I moved on. He continued to call, and I stopped answering after a while. And after a while, he showed up on my doorsteps. Let me read this right. I'm reading it like I'm Robert Redwine. I had an ex-boyfriend stalk me for a while. We dated and lived together for 10 years. I moved on. He continued to call and stopped, and I stopped answering. After a while, he showed up at my doorstep one day and quietly asked to come in and talk. I let him in and soon discovered he was very upset and started throwing and breaking things in my house. He said I ruined his life and he would not leave me alone. I was very scared and my sons were pretty young. They ran to their room after I told them to leave. After I told them to leave the room, which is the room that they were in, so they went to their rooms. So that's where Anna leaves it at in the chat room. So Anna, either you should call in and tell us what happened after that, because evidently, I mean, did he physically assault you after that? You know, how were you able to get out of it? And is his first name Robert and his last name Red Ryan? Robert, I think I'm going to make you responsible for all stalking.
That's not right, Jay.
It's not.
And
okay.
Right.
Let me see. Okay. Holy Spirit lady said Tyra Banks, Brady Green, 39, waited twice outside the studio where the Tyra Banks show was filmed, saying he wanted to do something nice for Tyra. He sent her 2 dozen roses and a card stating, "When I see you, I love you." So I mean, that's kind of nice. I mean, where's the stalking there? Is that stalking, Joan? Is that stalking to you?
Well, it just, I don't know. I mean, how many times, he waited twice outside the studio.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I guess, you know, what is the obsession about just repeatedly coming back?
I mean, I'm attracted to you. I mean, what's wrong? I mean, so what? You do that for a living. If I'm attracted to you, can't I at least, you know, I'm bringing you flowers. It's not like I'm bringing a weapon.
Well, but I mean, so you could be bringing flowers, but you could also be carrying a weapon that no one sees. It could be concealed.
He was arrested last March at McDonald's near her studio and reportedly sentenced last June to 1 year probation.
But I mean, did you see his picture? He looked crazy.
In 2 years, banning from contact.
Did you?
No, I didn't see him. You know, well, maybe she was
driving.
He
looked like he was something wrong with him.
Jordan, do you love your dad? Come here. Okay, you guys, I have Jordan this week because her mom is singing and she's gone for a week. Come here. Do you love your dad?
Yes.
Do you know you're the love of my life?
Yes.
I didn't tell you the other part. Do you know you're the apple of my eye?
Yes.
Do you know you're the girl of my dreams?
Yes.
Do you know I love you more than everybody in the whole wide world? Do you know you got a big water head?
Yes.
You want to give your dad some macaroni? Yes. Ah, yes. This is the one. I just love her. Man. Robert?
Yes.
You see how much I love my daughter?
Yes.
How's your daughter doing?
She's doing good, Jay.
Now, Robert, if you knew somebody was stalking your daughter, what would you do?
Oh, I'd be right on top of them.
Why would you get on top of them? You little freaky boy.
I'll get on top of the situation.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, Jay,
okay.
Let me ask you this. This guy also moved from the state of Georgia to Los Angeles to be close to her. Now, that is an indication right there that there's something's wrong.
She doesn't know him. He wanted to show his love for her. He wanted to prove that he'll travel across the world for her. Okay, I'm joking, Joan. This is an email I got from one of my friends on Tag. And this is and her name is Janice, or Lady J. And she said, I look forward to your radio talk show each Sunday. Very interesting and on time topics. This one hits home as I was a victim myself. I had no idea that I was being stalked. I can't be on tomorrow because I'm attending church pastor's appreciation, but I would like to share what happened in a few words. I was young, single, lived alone, and worked graveyard shift at a local hospital. It was one summer morning around 2 a.m. on my way to work, as I did every day, when I pulled up to a red light. I felt like someone was staring, so I looked over at the car next to me. He was a white, middle-aged man in a convertible car, and he spoke. I just smiled, and when the light turned green, I proceeded to drive. I noticed he dropped back behind me and seemed to be following me. All I could think of was hurry and pull into the parking lot and run into the hospital, hoping someone would be in the parking lot. But there wasn't anyone in the dark parking lot when I arrived, and it was a few yards to the hospital. I pulled into the parking lot, grabbed my purse, and before I could even turn off the car, he had pulled me out of the car and was carrying me to his car. I began screaming, kicking, resisting, and throwing all kinds of punches. Amazingly, the security guard came out into the parking lot and saw the abductor attempting to get me into the car. He yelled and started running toward us. the abductor threw me on the ground and sped away, saying he knew where I lived and would get me another time. Neither the guy nor I got the license plate, and I could not ID him. To make a long story short, I moved from my apartment and quit my night job. Moved back home for about a year before I could deal with the thought of living on my own again. The psychological effect that it had on me for many years was no trust in men, afraid to be out at night, and I never wanted to go anywhere alone. I am an overcomer, but it made me more aware of my situation and the people around me. I often wonder how many others he might have abducted, and who knows what might have happened to them. I count my blessings every time I am reminded of that near abduction. I applaud you for choosing this topic. I'll be sure to listen in later. God bless you and your colleagues. What do you think about that?
That's deep.
Roberto? Robert, why would I give you time? What are you doing?
I think she probably suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder from a situation like that, being a female and all.
Okay, so this is what Anna did with the guy when she was telling us about her situation. Anna said, I lied to him and told him I would start answering his calls, that there was no need to be upset. I convinced him to leave, and he called back before he got back home. I took the call and told him I would occasionally talk on the phone. After many conversations later, he finally was convinced that I did not want him and just wanted friendship. He still tells me to this day that no one can replace me. That part is kind of scary. Yeah. And then April Simpson, I'm glad your story had a good ending. And Anna said, yeah, me too. I'm hoping that mine have a happy ending with Robert. That he doesn't, that once he's off the show, that he doesn't start coming to my house and stuff like that.
We have any callers, Jay?
No, we don't have any. Let me see. Do we, Robert, you know why you don't know if we have any callers?
Why, Jay?
Because you don't have a phone. So, Joan.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any new laws in place that helps the victim of stalkers?
Well, I don't think that there are any newer laws than those that have already been out there, whatever they may be. And like I said, each state, you know, has its own way of how they're dealing with the stalking issue. And, I mean, when you consider all the other crime and stuff that goes on, I think they look at stalking probably as a minor issue when it's compared to everything else that's going on in these cities.
Do we know the number of people that are stalked every year?
It says 3.2 million people are victims.
Okay.
I mean, 3.4
okay.
million people a year.
Okay. And you can, baby. And how many of them are actually, you know, how many people are killed? I know it says 54% that were killed reported it to their police before they were killed. But how many are actually killed? Do we know how many people, how many of these stalkings or what percentage of the stalking ends up in murder?
No, not those stats I don't know.
Okay. Well, so do you guys want to hear another piece of music? Because, you know, maybe I'll okay, April says, I once knew a girl with a similar story. Unfortunately, this young man decided that if he could not have her, then nobody could, and he ended both of their young lives. They were 19
wow.
and 20.
Wow.
Wow. So, you know, that's when it gets to be, you know, when people feel like love is that strong where, you know, if I can't have you, can't nobody have you? That's a scary, scary thought.
Yeah.
And how much of this do you think has to do with music, Joan? Do you think that that music has a lot to do with the negative mentality of our society?
You mean across the board? Because I mean, I don't. I don't think it's all just music. I mean, there's so many factors. I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with how people have been raised and just, I don't know what the factors are about that. Hmm. You know?
It's something to think about, something to look into. I'm going to tell you, as opposed to stalking.
I think television.
Yeah.
I think television would have more of an impact on the way, because one thing about television, there are so many vivid stories that we see, and a lot of times people emulate what they see on television, you know, and I think that that would probably have more impact on the on something like this as opposed to music.
Wow. Well, I got to be honest with you. I actually write songs as opposed to stalking. You know, and we all, you know, we've all had our hearts broken and,
yeah,
you know, in situations where it just, you know, it just didn't go right. And, you know, just letting somebody go is a tough deal, especially if you're used to being with that person and you're used to that person being in your space and you being in their space. And it's just, it's a tough, tough thing. And for me, writing was always my way out. So
yeah.
I'm going to play this song right here because as opposed to stalking or letting it get worse in my heart, this is what I said.
Goodbye, glory.
compassionate.
There's a lot of compassion in me, Robert.
Wow.
Well, you need to show some to Robert.
Thank you, Joan.
Listen, how many people, Robert just said himself, how many people would have a stalker on their show with them? Think about that. I just read you a list of celebrities and their stalkers, and here I am. My stalker is on the phone with me. He's not only is he on the phone, he's a co-host of a show that it really has nothing to do with. What more compassion do you want me to show?
Who selected your co-host?
I did.
Then be quiet.
Joan, that's the funniest thing you said all year. Wow. Okay. April says it has a lot to be with upbringing. We as a collective need to love the youth. If you do not, the chances of them becoming too attached to someone or joining a gang in search of that love are inevitable. April Sense says, I'm a poet and often pour out negativity onto paper to get it out of my system. I try my best not to watch or read the news. Holy Spirit said, you are very talented as a singer and songwriter. I have to hold back from stalking you. Holy Spirit, I'd rather it be you than Roberto. April says, I have to reminisce in order to see, hear good news. It is as though good news is extinct. Holy Spirit said, it is sad that if it bleeds, it leads in the news. Why is that? Why? Let me ask you a question, Joan. Do you notice that our subjects are all about things that aren't really good?
Well, yeah. I mean, but these are the reality of the times that we live in. You know, I mean, and it's better to talk about these things than to act like we don't know that they exist.
Yeah.
I mean, just like our topic next week, you know, do you know how many predators are in your neighborhood? You know, I mean, you have a little daughter, you know, I mean, you need to know who's in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, and if you don't know, I think you'll be surprised. It could be one right directly across the street, one next door. And there are many, many many websites that will tell you precisely where these predators live. They'll show you a picture of who they are. And I'll tell you, it will scare you half to death when you see it, but it's better to know.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna lie. If I ever found somebody stalking, my daughter, or against any kind of predator, I promise you, they will die.
Yeah.
I'm not playing. I'm not going to bite my tongue about it. I will be vicious and quick about it. I will not play because I want my daughter to have a wonderful, happy, unadulterated life.
Yes.
And it's my job and my duty to assure that is exactly what happens.
Yeah.
So, Anna says, I love you too, Jay, but I ain't going to stalk nobody. Yeah, you will. You got to stalk me. I'm stalkable. It's okay. Robert's proven that I'm stalk worthy. Look at him. 22 years later, he's still at it.
Hi, Anna.
She said that you were a closet stalker, Robert. Let me see what Bridget has to say about this subject. Let me get Bridget over here. How you doing, Bridget?
I'm great. And yourself?
I'm fine. So I know you've been listening. You've been blogging. So tell me, What do you think about this subject here?
Well, I feel that, you know, stalking, I mean, it's something that is there, whether we want to face it or not, and there's many different levels to it. I feel that, you know, you never know how serious a person is. You know, you may laugh it off, or you hear someone say, well, I own you, or you'll never leave me. Some people don't take that seriously. And, you know, that is the beginning to realizing that a person is sick. And I'm saying for myself that I've run into the situation. I laughed it off. Nothing ever became of it, but that is a form of sickness. And it's unfortunate in these days and times that, you know, we have to live with these type of people.
Now, have you ever been in a situation where somebody was violent towards you, or?
Oh, yes. Yes, I have. I was married, and it started off beautifully with gifts and everything. And, then eventually the real person comes out.
So do you feel like your husband was stalking you even in the house?
Yes. At times, I mean, yeah. It became a phobia, you know? It becomes a phobia. It becomes a phobia.
Now, what about love? He just loved you so much that, you know, that he couldn't live without you because you meant a lot to him. What about that?
I think I'm going to say this. I changed his life. Mm-hmm. I made his life better. He didn't make my life better.
Right. So I'm
so I feel
you
that,
why
you know,
would he,
some.
Why would he want you to leave? I mean, you made his life so much better. Is it stalking, or is it just admiration and love because of all the wonderful things you brought to his life?
No, it's just sickness. I mean, it's something that was, if you knew the story behind him, you know, he had a thing because his mother left him as a child. So he had a thing with people leaving him. And he just never, there was something that, he never got over, something he never asked the Lord to remove from him. And it just grew and grew. But he did what he needed to do in order to get me.
Which
and
was?
Eventually the real him came out.
So so how long were you guys married?
8 years.
And any children?
No. No.
And how long have you been divorced?
I've been divorced since 1996.
So that's 13 years now. Have you seen him, or has he stalked you since then?
No, but I had to pay a. There was something that one day, I'm just going to tell you this. One day, I hadn't served with the divorce papers, and he called me, and it was like, why did you have me served at work? Well, this is the only place I know that I know you will be. So make a long story short, he wind up seeing me that day, and he slapped me for the last time. And usually this...
You say slapped you, you mean physically slapped.
Physically. But when that happened, he wind up being the one that was hurt this time. So... And I never had a problem with him since.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you put the problem solver on him.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes,
so
I did.
So all I got to do is put the problem solver on Robert, and he won't stalk me anymore.
See. Well, no.
Serious. I was
you guys stop picking on him. But,
thank you, honey.
Yeah, y'all stop picking on him. But, you know, it happened. It happened. And it wasn't something that I chose to do or planned to do. It was just something that happened.
You want me to stop picking on my stalker, but you handled yours, right?
I handled mine. If I didn't, he was going to handle me. Believe that.
This is what Holy Spirit lady said. Some stalkers bolster their self-esteem by dominating, intimidating, possessing or manipulating their partners. Controlling or affecting a partner gives them some feelings of power or uniqueness in a world where they generally feel powerless or unimportant. In cases of revenge stalking, the stalker believes they were wronged in some way and cannot grow up and move on with their lives. Did you wrong Robert? Robert, did I do something wrong with to you? Holy Spirit wants to
know. Every week, Jay.
So,
every week.
So what Holy Spirit lady is saying is that you might be doing some revenge stalking. Because you believe you were wrong and you can't grow up and move on with your life. So you attach yourself to me and just stay at my hip. It's almost like
we all win and elevate together, Jay.
It's almost like you're a backpack to me. When I move, you move. You're my backpack, Robert. You're backpack.
Why don't you say parachute?
You know what, guys? You know, we've done all this talking about stalking, but we haven't given anyone any ideas about what they can do in regard to their own safety if they are being stalked. So would you mind if I give them some tips?
No, it'd be great. I think you should, Joan. Joan could give me a couple of tips also.
Okay. If possible, you should have a phone nearby at all times if you know that someone is stalking you or harassing you, preferably a phone which the stalker has never had access, and you should memorize emergency numbers and make sure that the 911 and helpful family or friends numbers are on your speed dial. Treat all threats, direct and indirect, as legitimate and inform law enforcement immediately. Vary your routines, including changing your route to work, school, the grocery store, and other places regularly frequented. Limit your time spent alone and try to shop at different stores and visit different banks, bank branches. And when you're out of the house or your work environment, try not to travel alone and try to stay in public areas. Get a new unlisted phone number. Leave the old number active and connected to an answering machine or voicemail. Have a friend, advocate, or law enforcement screen the calls and save any messages from the stalker. Now, be sure to save the messages because that's your evidence. These messages, particularly those that are explicitly abusive or threatening, can be critical evidence for law enforcement to build a stalking case against the offender. Do not interact with the person stalking or harassing you. Responding to stalkers' actions may reinforce their behavior. Consider obtaining a protective order against the stalker. Some states offer stalking protective orders, and other victims may be eligible for protective orders under their state's domestic violence statutes. And trust your instincts. If you're somewhere that doesn't feel safe, either find ways to make it safer or leave. The last thing I'm going to give to you, if you find yourself in a stalking situation, you can always contact the National Center for Victims of Crime. They are at www.ncv.org/src. Their telephone number is 1-800-FYI-CALL, in other words, 394-2255. That's 1-800-394-2255. Their hours are from Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you are being stalked during the hours of which they are not available, then of course you call the police immediately. So those are some tips that you can take to save yourself, because with stalkers, you never know what their intentions are or what they may or may not do to you.
Wow, thank you, Joan. And Bridget says, in my town, anyone that's arrested is put in a newspaper called Busted. And that paper tells what these persons' charges are. And believe it's enough to blow your mind to know who might be in the paper and the charges. So Holy Spirit says it's an excellent idea to give the stalkies like myself advice against the stalkers like Robert. Okay, so Anna E. wants me to tell you about this email I got. I sent it to her. I might have sent it to you too, Joan, where the unmarked police car was trying to pull a girl over.
Mm-hmm.
And because stalkers, you know, like they'll try to pull you over in an unmarked police car and all that stuff. This girl she called the police. She dialed 911 and told them that an unmarked car was trying to pull her over. 911 checked the area and said, we do not have anybody in that area with that description. So keep driving. Drive to a gas station, and we're going to have a car meet you there. We have a car on you right now. And so the person that was going to be the predator and the stalker was apprehended because she made the phone call to 911. So if an unmarked car is pulling you over, don't just pull over because it looks like a police vehicle or something. Dial 911. Tell them that you're being pulled over and that you're not resisting, but that you don't feel like you're in a safe area, and drive to a safe area. And either if it's the police, they'll let you know. And if it's one of their cars, they'll let you know. If it's not, you know, they'll protect you.
Yeah, that happened here in Seattle, Jay, last week, an unmarked car that wasn't the police pulled some ladies over. I think they raped the ladies.
Wow.
Wow. Yes. April Sims says, I have Google Voice, which screens my calls. It is amazing how folks think they know you if you're in the public eye. And I'm just on Blog Talk Radio. Well, April, you're kind of famous on Blog Talk, okay? And you got stalkers. You got a professional stalker that's on my show. So if he's on your show, if I listen to your show one day and you got Robert Redwine on there, I know he stalked you too. Holy Spirit Lady said the best defense is to take offense. If you get a protection order, the next act of stalking will be a crime and you will be able to make a police report. If you don't get a protection order, I guess you can't do that. What you can do is this, though. You can get you a little thing of mace. When one of the little sap suckers try to get at you, spray his little face off. I bet you he'll think twice about that. What about that advice, Joan?
Yeah, that's good.
That's some good advice?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to show you another song that I wrote instead of stalking.
instead of stalking, you write and free yourself with Can't Let You Go.
Yep. So, well, you know what? I mean, I guess it's a form of stalking, but it's through song. Now, I'm going to tell you how goofy I am. I always put myself on mute and put everybody on mute when the music is playing.
Yeah.
But for some odd reason, I think Val just called me, and
right.
I think I was talking during the song like a moron.
I couldn't hear you then.
You couldn't hear me? Okay, then
no,
I'm smarter than I think I am. All right, so, wow, this was a very interesting topic. A lot of people had a lot to say. Let me tell you what April said. Let me see. Starting with the Holy Spirit. April says, I say call 911. If it is unmarked police, if it's a marked police car, if you feel in your gut that something is not right, well, you can. You can actually call 911 and tell them that you're being pulled over by a police officer and you feel like you're not in a safe area. And they can tell you whether that car, that officer is supposed to be doing what they're doing, and they can actually make contact with the officer and allow you to go to what might be a safe area in your mind. Holy Spirit lady says, notify friends, family, and your boss that this person is violating your right to peace and privacy so everyone is aware of the stalker. You got to tell somebody. Too many times we ignore this kind of thing, or we don't want people to know, and, you know, it's our private business. You got to let people know.
Or a lot of times, too, you know, I think people brush it off because they really don't think, oh, he's not going to go, you know, through with anything. And they just really don't see any harm coming to themselves. And you can't begin to predict what's on that person's mind.
Well, you know, Holy Spirit lady said, stings, I'll be watching you with about a stalker.
It is.
I could see that, you know. Every move you make, every breath you take,
mm-hmm.
I'll be watching you.
Yeah.
You know, every single day I'll be watching you.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, he's stalking.
Yeah.
Robert, didn't you have a song called J. King is My Hero? I want to be just like him. Wherever he is, I'm at. I'm there or something like that, didn't you?
No, Jay.
You know,
I'm sorry to let you down, Jay.
You should have that kind of song. So, Jonas, so we got a lot out of the show. We got, you know, we got a lot of facts out to people. We have a bunch of different ideas.
But you know who we have to thank for this show, and unfortunately he's not in the chat room with us today, and it's IROC.
Yes,
because IROC asked us to talk about stalking, probably about 4 months ago. And we had scheduled it at that time, and then all of a sudden we started getting, you know, the Michael Harris series and talking about minors and other issues that we felt, you know, deserved to be talked about right at that time. So I'm glad that we finally got this taken care of for IROC, and I'm sure he'll pull it up from the archives, and I hope he'll be pleased with the way that we handled it today.
Well, I'm sure I think what he's going to find out is he's going to say, wow, I knew Robert was stalking Jay. I thought it, but now I know for certain. I think a lot of people, just by the blog and what people were saying, you know, that they knew that Robert really wanted to be a lot like me. You know, that he's going to say the same thing. Wow, Robert really is a stalker. So, Robert, you got anything to say about stalking? And you said you were going to tell us about your stalking story. It only probably takes 2 minutes, so go ahead.
No, I mean, I had a few, but I'll just tell one real briefly.
Robert, stalking yourself is not considered stalking.
Let him tell
Jay, will you give me a chance, Jay?
Okay.
There was a young lady she was from L.A. She came to do an interview with me about some rap music that I was working on at the time, and she came to... She was working on a local video show in L.A., and she wanted to interview me, so she came up. And then she was coming on to me, and she had a husband that was pretty well-known in the hip-hop community. But I found out later that he had met her at a rap show, and she was a groupie. So she just kept on coming on to me, and wanted to keep on interviewing me, following me to all the places I was performing or showing up at. And then she went out and told people that I raped her. But then she, a year later, she was on Inside Edition, and she had did the same thing to Ronald Reagan's son and Ice-T. So that was a crazy story that I experienced.
Wow.
I didn't think it would happen to people. Like,
you didn't think it would happen to somebody so small fry like yourself?
Yeah, I didn't think so. But then I saw her, and then so. Yeah, but it's scary when you're falsely accused of things, and you know, and some people will believe a lie over a truth. So, but then
yeah.
You know, when you see it on national news that she's the same girl that's talking about these guys, then I feel like, well, I'm not as big as them. So if she do it to them, then I'm nothing. So
all right, well, but is that your stalking story?
Yes, that's my stalking story.
Okay, so and, you know, everybody's saying bye as though the show is over. We got 3 minutes left, but I want to say to Robin, she may not be with us next week. She's going out of town with the hubby for a weekend alone. That is wonderful. I love to hear that. Anna E. just cut the cake and left us. I want to say thank you to everybody. Who stayed in the show today. We had a very light audience today. Joan, what was that
well,
about?
if it was the weather was as beautiful everywhere else as it is in L.A. today, I can understand why people are out and about. I think if I weren't feeling ill, I'd be out there too. I probably wouldn't even have been on here today.
Yeah, remember, Joan, 3,000 milligrams of vitamin C, clove of garlic, and green tea and honey.
Okay, I'll be looking for your bill in the mail.
What do we do? What do you do to get rid of a stalker who's been stalking you for 22 years? I mean, since you got all the remedies.
What would I do?
What can I do for a stalker?
Join forces with them and win.
You know what I think? I think you should turn the tables on them and start stalking them.
So I should start stalking. I mean, what is there to stalk in, Robert? I mean, it would be the boring. It would be the most boring stalk time.
I mean, because if you did that, it would be unexpected by the stalker, don't you think? He wouldn't be expecting you to do that. You know, if you turn the tables on him and let him get an idea of what it feels like to be stalked, then maybe he would stop stalking you.
That's a good idea, John. I'm gonna take that into consideration. I'm gonna chew on that. I want to thank everybody for listening to the show, for hanging in there with us. Next week we're going to be talking about, what are we talking about, Joan?
We will be talking about, do you know how many predators are in your neighborhood?
So we'll be talking about predators. I have one on my show. Let's see how many in your neighborhood. You can actually go online and find out. I want to say... We're going to send out a positive vibration of love. For those of you who don't know, Robert is my brother. All this is in love and fun and jokes, and we just have a good time. We hope to see you next week. And until next week, Joan, Robert, love you. Talk to you next week.
Love you too.
All right.
Take care, everybody.
God bless.